Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Jared Weaver is a licensed real estate broker in Texas and Florida. He helps his clients reach their financial goals through conservative investments in single and multifamily residential properties. And he utilizes an intimate market knowledge and financial analysis to identify and acquire the right assets. He tries to teach his clients and agents how to leverage technology by implementing an organic marketing system with guaranteed results. I can't wait to find out how that works. Garrett, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Stephen?
Excellent. Jill, you with us?
I'm here. Thank you.
Are you doing your nails?
I am.
You have. I can tell when we had like more than two podcasts in one day when we record, because your nails look great.
Yeah, thanks. Very funny.
So, Jared, tell us who you are in the real estate industry and kind of explain your niche. It sounds unique.
Well, you know, I live in Texas, and yes, I am a broker here and also a broker in Florida, where I'm originally from, 21 years ago or so. I've really cut out a niche working with people that want to, new guys that want to get their first income property, get a little cash flow rolling, and other larger holders that want to pick up some portfolio stuff.
Okay, good. Are you working with a lot of people right now, or what's your typical load like?
Yeah, you know, I probably about 20 people is my typical service. Mm-hmm. Folks that, again, some of those are portfolio holders with a dozen or more properties, and others are smaller time guys that we've got a lot of tech guys here, of course, in Austin. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of dissatisfied tech employees, engineers, sales guys that actually make quite a bit of money, but they realize that that's not going to last forever, and they decide that they want to invest in some cash flow properties. And we bring those guys in and kind of explain to them how we work and find them properties that work for what they want to do.
That's great. You know, it sounds like we have the same type of customer. Land Academy is made up of, substantially made up of seasoned employees of large companies that are, they don't make really, really good money, but they want to enhance it because you said it perfectly. They just want to, it's not going to last forever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what makes this successful?
Well, what makes this successful is dissatisfaction with tech. Let's.
We could do a whole show about that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm really dissatisfied with the tech in my life, by the way, right now, too.
Everybody needs to be good stewards of what they've been given. And, when you've got money that's sitting there, and it doesn't have to be a whole lot of money, mm-hmm. That you don't know what to do with, but you know you want to do something with it. Hey, let's find a way to put it to work. Mm-hmm. You know, and in real estate, it may not be extraordinarily liquid, but it's not going to disappear. You know, so many of these guys have lost a killing in the markets, mm-hmm. and they just can't bear it. They can't deal with it anymore. And with the volatility of the market, you know, that's perfect if you can ride peak to peak, but good luck with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you've got a real asset, you know, a tangible thing, as real estate is, that provides the asset that gives a cash flow, is completely safe. And, you know, that's in my bio. It was about conservative investing. And that's what we really do. We don't want to buy properties that are speculative in nature, where we're buying on top of a bubble, and the properties that we help people acquire, I can sleep at night knowing that they're not going to lose money.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So does a typical deal for you involve buying an undervalued, let's say, single-family residential home and then renting it out with your client or for
typically,
your client?
Typically, yes. Okay. Typically, yes. That right now we're in a period – prices are high again, very high again. And right now we're taking some long-term looks and at some of these portfolios, and we're doing some sales because, you know, the upside we're gaining on the sale is – dramatic enough that it's going to take a whole lot of months to ever get back to that cash. So
yeah,
we're taking some money off the table and reallocating it into other assets or going on the sidelines a minute waiting for whatever the next blip's going to be.
You know, Jill and I go through that on probably 80% of the properties that we purchase. So we try to buy properties that are, I don't know, at least, you know, at least 80%, maybe 75% below what we could sell them for cash the next day. Right. And so, but, you know, I've been in the past, I've been really quick to say, man, let's do that. Let's utilize it. Let's double our money. Let's triple our money. And lately what we've been doing instead is just getting a good asset, paying cash for it, and then selling it on terms and earning a, you know, an 18 to a 20 year, year after year, 50% return on our money. So
right,
then the numbers are staggering, but it takes a lot of patience and, you know, and a lot of I like the joke that I have a bottle of Maalox on my desk. I literally do, because it's like, man, I really want to sell these properties, but mm-hmm, we need some long term, you know, cash flow. So,
well, you know, I was having that conversation today at lunch with one of my clients, and we were talking about a storage facility, and the thing is, it's not large. It isn't. I don't know. It's not a huge moneymaker, but you know, when it can sit there and be an ATM and generate $1,000 to $1,200 a month without a whole lot of oversight, and yeah, the upside on that one, you could probably turn it around any day of the week, and you know, probably get close to $100,000. You know, positive on that thing if mm-hmm, you sell. But why sell it? That, you know, it's not like it can only be that money today. You know, it's money in the bank for whatever day you want to sell it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, $1,000 plus a month cash flow, you know, that's pretty good for not doing a whole lot of anything.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some really good storage deals that are, you know, storage facilities typically are on relatively large pieces of property if they're, I don't know, whatever, medium size or maybe larger. And they usually are in the growth path. So I had a guy that I worked with a long time ago that would buy these things. They would cash flow, like you're saying, not make that much money, keep them for 5 years, and then the highest and best use for that land was no longer for storage facility. It was an apartment building or something. So he'd sell for the land value, and he did really, really, really well.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a nice holdover instead of having vacant land, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's cash flowing vacant land, really.
Exactly. And reality of the units is the way they're built, you can actually disassemble them and put them somewhere else.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not like you got to push them down with a bulldozer.
Well, if you didn't have to pave the parking lot, that'd be the perfect investment deal.
There you go.
It would cost nothing.
Right.
No utilities or anything, really. That's great. Mm-hmm. So give us an example of a deal that you're working on right now. I guess you kind of gave us a storage situation, but a typical deal.
That, you know, let's some of the single family stuff. We've got houses that we bought, you know, outside of the Austin Metro. You can't go into the city of Austin and do any of this. It doesn't work. The numbers are just ridiculous down there. You know, so if anybody's thinking you can buy a $100,000 house in Austin, good luck. But not far outside, you know, you go 15, 20, 30 miles outside of the CBD of Austin, and you can get into some of these suburb communities. And, you know, we try to pick up houses distressed in some way, be it a VA repo, be it a HUD home, be it a whatever, foreclosure, divorce, you name it. We search every day for that type of thing. And, you know, let's say, for instance, one of the ones we picked up over, there's a little town called Gerald, about 30 miles outside of Austin, straight north. We pick up houses over there all the time. Every time we can find one that it's worthy of getting, we'll pick it up. You know, maybe $85,000, $86,000. We've put, I don't know, some around $2,000, $2,500 in them to freshen them up, give them some fresh paint, fresh floors, make them look nice, get the yards cleaned up. You know, and then we rent a house like that for $1,200 to
$1,300
a month. Great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it gives a real positive cash
flow. Yeah.
Well, right now, the prices are going up. So, you know, these houses that we've got, let's say, less than $88,000 in are worth close to $130,000. So, you know, that's where these guys are, or we're taking a look at these properties and going, well, should we pull that cash out now and reallocate it? So, yeah, that's typically what we're doing. That, yeah, their cash flow, they've been great cash flow, but it's time to pull that out. And typically what we're looking at now is trying to get into apartment deals with the cash that's been made on those properties.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, that is, we do not have that roller coaster problem with land. So we, you know, we buy a piece of property and then we sell it on terms for, I don't know, 10, 15, sometimes 20 years. And then the worst thing that can happen is that the person just stops paying, which once in a while that happens. You know, we do everything we can to help them out or whatever, and then we just go back and sell it to somebody else.
So, over again. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, wait, so.
Can I ask a question? Jared's painting a really pretty picture, like there's never any issues with tenants, and it's just so easy. I got to ask, give us a funny story, because one of the things that, because we've done some flipping, and we keep coming back to land for a reason, so I was going to pick your brain about one of your craziest, funniest, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened story, you know.
Good point. Good point.
Well, Jill, that the good news is, we do our best to keep those at a minimum.
Right.
we screen pretty strongly ahead of getting tenants in. You know, the things that make you pull your hair out are, this really isn't funny, but it's more tragic. You know, one of them that just really frustrated me beyond belief is have a couple come into a house. The house is a year old. You know, it's worth, you know, $260,000. Beautiful new home in a really nice subdivision in Round Rock, even closer to Austin. And they've got a couple of kids. You know, everything checks out. Their ideal family. Guy's cool. A veteran. Had some hard times, but, you know, that's why he's renting. But everything checks out. Good criminal, good income, good job. So we leased the place to him. He's in there for about 4 months. All of a sudden, I'm having a problem getting paid. So we are like, hey, what's going on? Oh, lo and behold, poor me. Wife left me, and I don't have enough money to pay the rent. Say, okay, so now you need to leave. So honestly, we get him out without having to do a foreclosure, but, you know, we lost a month's rent in there. The house needed probably close to $1,300-$1,400 worth of fix up after they left. Mm-hmm. It turns out that he actually beat up his wife.
Oh, man.
She left under domestic abuse.
Whoa.
And, you know, there is a provision in all leases for domestic abuse that you can get out of.
I didn't know that.
But,
I didn't either.
Absolutely. But she did not do what is on the letter of the law by providing notice and all this other thing. I had no idea. So she took the kids and returned back to another state. He stayed here. And then he disappears. So I'm, you know, working on trying to collect what's due and not getting anywhere with that because guy simply evaporated. I know where she's at, but she keeps threatening me with lawsuit because she feels that she left under the tenant of the lease of the domestic abuse. But honestly, she did it. But the thing is, what do you do? Because if you take it to court, who are they going to side with?
Exactly.
You know, because there was some domestic abuse, and I don't doubt that, and that's horrible. But there's also an obligation to do what the law says. So what you end up doing is you get a whole lot of nothing. And you pick up the pieces, you release it, and you drive on. And that's what we did. So, unfortunately, I wish that was funnier.
so do I.
That's the reason you don't become a landlord.
You know, I think the moral of the story is never get to know your tenants, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we budget two full months of non-payment on every deal we do. And if it doesn't make us, if the deal doesn't make 50% year over year, we don't do the deal, which, you know, doesn't happen very often, but you don't want to have to do that. But I guess it's the same thing as vacancy rate with rentals. So, I mean, after all of that, did you just skip 1 month?
Yeah, we lost a month of income with him out and getting everything fixed up. You know, they put like deadbolts on the master bedroom door and stuff, so we had to get the door fixed and door jams and you know, carpet, the classic stuff. But no, we got it released pretty quick, so we were in decent shape there.
That's not bad. So you're probably under the 2 months budget.
Yeah, you know, honestly, this has created a situation where I've decided I'm not going to manage any longer.
Okay.
And I only have a single portfolio that I actually still manage for. And as his properties are coming vacant at this point, we're starting to sell those off as well because they've had a real nice upside. So what I do is people that want the cash flow and want to do the rentals, I show them how to self-manage. Because it really isn't that hard if you do what you're supposed to do.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a buddy, Jill and I have a mutual friend. His name is Joe Schillinger. I'm trying to get him on the show, and I'm sure he's busy, but I'm sure that we will have him on the show. And he has a huge, I don't know, several hundred rental houses on the west side of Phoenix, and he's got a pretty powerful financial partner, silent financial backer. And so the company's big enough now where he has outsourced just about everything, but the one thing that he refuses to outsource that he does himself is choose tenants. And he swears by meeting them at the house, and then he has somebody while they're in the house take a real good look at their car, whether or not it's clean. Have you ever heard of this, Jared?
I absolutely have.
He swears by it.
People look in the car to find out, you know, look in the windows to see if they've got, like, you know, scrap McDonald bags laying on the floor and stuff, you know, to give you an idea of how they keep their things.
That's hilarious.
He said he's at 90%. He said if the car passes their tests, it's real cleaned up and, you know, relatively late model, he avoids a tremendous amount of turnover that way.
Do you know, Stephen, I would pass the test. You might not.
That would be the same in our family.
Oh, my God. It's Stephen the barrel day. You know, a couple of days ago, it was Jill the barrel day.
It really was.
You know what? I earned that. I earned that comment, Jill. You're right.
You always have soccer and baseball equipment in the back of your car. I mean, there's just kids stuff going on. I don't allow that in my car.
I've got baseball stadium seats. I've got some extension cords, a Sawzall, some hunting stuff. I got a little of everything in the car. So, yeah, don't look in there.
Nice.
Next time I go to the car wash, I pull up and the guy says, look, I can cut you a smoking deal. I can give you 80 car washes for, like, I don't know, whatever it was, 40 or 50 or 60. It was a great deal. It was like 80% off what you would regularly pay. And I said, man, it's just going to be wasted on me because this car won't be washed 80 times for as long as I own it.
Yeah, the client I was out with earlier this morning that we had lunch together, I mentioned that we're going down a dirt road, and he's like, oh, man, I'm sorry, your car's getting all dirty. I'm like, yeah, I only wash it twice a year, and that was yesterday. Poor car.
That's so good.
So back to real estate. Do you, Jared, is there a special way that you source property? Do you find good, you know, undervalued assets?
I do everything I can. Of course, you know, we've got the MLS, but the MLS at this time isn't very good for finding values, you know, that when the market is high and like it is, there's just nothing on there that's going to be attractive. Doesn't mean you don't look and keep your automated searches going to see if something pops up. But that's been a real long time. So, you know, I spend more time looking at county court records. looking for evictions, looking for divorces, looking for, you know, foreclosure postings, and contacting those folks. You know, finding out-of-state owners who just did an eviction. Nobody wants to sell a property more than that person.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's not being handled by a management company, and you can see in there who's leading the foreclosure, or excuse me, the eviction. And, you know, if it's the individual who's out of state, they instantly want to sell. They'll do whatever.
You know what Jill and I do? We send out a very meticulous direct mail campaign for SFRs that don't have any debt on them. So if they have no mortgage at all, we send out we directly send them out an offer, and we say, look, it's only valid for a certain amount of time, and we're, cash is waiting. We can close within as fast as escrow can do it. So, you know, sometimes a week if there's no debt at all, and it works like a dream. Our percentage rates are pretty good.
You know, I saw that on your site that where you send out offers, and one of these last storage deals that I'm working on, that's what I did. That took your advice there.
Okay.
I sent out a contract, but I sent out a letter of intent, and I spelled everything out perfectly in the letter of intent. And guess what? Phone started ringing. I was like, "Hey, that's pretty cool."
Did you just send one letter?
Yeah, for those folks, I did one letter. They were ready to go.
Nice.
Ladies, again, it's a no debt asset. Lady inherited it 10 years ago.
Yes, there it is, Jill.
Once again. Has done absolutely nothing with it, running it in the ground. I mean, doesn't even have insurance on it. It's a huge liability over her head, and she just wants it gone.
You know, Jill and I started this podcast for this exact reason, because our biggest problem is conveying that this really works. Mm-hmm. No one believes us.
Well,
you know,
there
we just had two students, two members of the Land Academy. They're paying members, by the way, Jared. You could be a paying member if you wanted. And no, I'm really glad you got something out of the site. All kidding aside, but we just had two members on the site, and they're getting 20 to 25% return, you know, calls backs, mm-hmm. and mailbacks for the offers that they're sending out on the assets.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a whole lot better than getting the cheesy stuff that so many people talk about. All the gurus say, hey, you know, send the colored letter, send the postcard, this, that, and the other, you know, put a big pile of cash on it, and, you know, somebody pointing south, or, you know, whatever. Come on. Nobody wants that junk. It's garbage. It goes in the trash. And, I mean, are those the people you want to talk to?
No, because they will call you back and talk to you for a half hour about nothing.
Okay, so put it in a number 10 envelope. Put a sincere letter in there, not some junk, and put an LOI with it. Well, boom. Can't get more serious than that. They're probably going to call.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad you had success with that. I've never heard of anyone, Jill, sending one letter out and getting it back. That's impressive.
That's awesome.
Beginner's luck.
All right, last question. So for someone starting out, you know, what's the first step? What would you suggest?
Well, that's it. Just start. You know, that's you got to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. If you truly don't believe in what you're doing and haven't made the decision, even if you start taking action, you're not going to do anything. You're going to goof around for a little bit and then go on to something else. Decide and be resolute. Have some tenacity and decide to go for it.
What would you suggest, Joe?
Oh.
Are you done with your nails, by the way?
I'm sorry. what would I say to someone first starting out?
Yeah.
That's a super good question.
Because you probably answer that question on the phone 10 times a day, right?
I do. Well, number one, answer the phone.
Man,
well, you know what?
It's shocking how many people don't do that. Especially
no one in real estate answers their phone.
What is that? So licensed real estate agents don't answer their phone.
No.
Everything we do as agents, you know, you're trying to start a conversation. You know, if you can start a conversation, then you can find out if you can help somebody. If you don't answer your phone, it's really hard to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's funny. I've had a number of people that when we first released the ebook and they tested our theory with that. We got a flood of emails that said, help, it works. What do I do now?
Yeah, help,
it was so funny. They were afraid to answer the phone. You know, like, these people are calling me back and they want to give me their property. I'm like, well, ask them how much. You know, I'm like, it's okay. And they're a little timid on that one. So that's what's funny, too. A lot of our people are afraid to just kind of go, all right, and just jump in. So I guess that's my advice, is don't be afraid. You know, it's a learning process. Just jump in. You'll get there. It's okay. So
I just got an email, Jill. I don't know if you're copied on this. I'm not sure why it trickled up to me, but from somebody who, it was an inheritance situation, and they have a ranch in Texas, and you apparently spoke with them quite some time ago, and then they went out and hired an agent, did all this stuff, and I think it was 6 or 8 months ago, and now they said, whatever your price is, just let us know. We want to close this quickly now. So did you get that email, Jill?
Yes, I did.
I got this
weekend. Yeah, I did.
I just got one just now, so maybe they're in a hurry.
Shucks, she is in a hurry, so I didn't get back to her fast enough.
Is it a good deal? I didn't even see the property or anything like that.
I you know what? I can't recall, but I have to go back.
Send me a copy of that. I'll take a look.
You like that?
It's in.
So many.
Where is it, in Texas? I don't remember.
Shucks, I just have so many on my plate right now. I'm falling behind, and it's a good problem to have. But
I mean, we're constantly in a situation where we just say, look, we can, our offer is X, because I'll be straight with you. There's 25 people behind you, and it's a pretty high percentage of those people are just going to say okay. So if you don't want to do it, I get it. I understand it. Keep our information and let us know 6 months from now if anything changes. And a very substantial number, either do it right then or call us in 6 months, like this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was so cute because, no, she put in the email that, Jill, you said you were going to do your homework and get back to me, which is 100% true. I just haven't done my homework and got back to her yet. So she's clearly excited and ready to go. And so I'm looking it up right now as we speak.
You know all those people that work in your office, Jill? What do they do?
Exactly. Well, let's see. My car's clean today. So, no. People are hopping here. I promise.
I'm just joking.
So, yeah. You are silly.
I think it's fantastic that you take personal responsibility for all this stuff, even though I know for sure that you don't do most of it, which is, I think, is great.
Well, you know, part of it is I like to be involved in these transactions because I know what I'm willing to pay. You know, I have a good feel for it. Once I make the deal, then I'm happy to, you know, hand off the paperwork and all that good stuff. But the initial assess, and I like it. I get a kick out of it. I love getting these calls and looking it up and going, holy cow, this person has, you know, 10 acres and look where it is. You know, I get excited by that, looking at the maps and, you know, thinking about, you know, what we could get it for, what we could sell it for, and, you know, or do we want to terms. It's fun.
To this day, my favorite part of this job is getting that phone call or that email where they say, yep, I want to do the deal. Here's the APN, the assessor's parcel number. You know, just let me know when we can close. And I agree. I almost, even still, I drop everything and I do the same thing, Jill. I look it up. I want to see where it is, how good of a deal it is, what the property looks like, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The adrenaline shot of the deal, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, so I have the title, Stephen, whenever you're ready.
All right. Hey, Jared, I forgot to mention that. We title the show at the end. Jill usually waits to find something that someone says wrong. Probably it's going to be you in this case.
Right.
And then she kind of makes an idiot out of us and titles it something.
No. Okay.
It's going to be the dirty car show.
It's not hard.
That's it. You're right.
It is?
Keep the back of your car clean.
Your back seat is your personality.
Exactly. You'll never be a tenant of mine if that's what your car looks like.
Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't be my own tenant, huh?
I love it.
So you know, I like you said that you're getting the land and selling it on terms. I love that. You know, it's kind of like in the mobile home world, the old Lonnie deal.
Exact same model, exactly.
So how are you there working with the SAFE Act, the Dodd-Frank bill? Are you running through the deals through RMLOs, or how are you complying with that?
That's a great question. I haven't had it in a long time. I'm super glad you brought it up because I'll answer it now. The more stuff we answer on the podcasts, it seems to lessen these topics, you know, on a email basis. So, yeah, Dodd-Frank, so if people don't know, was our wonderful federal government's way of involving landlords, as a part of the Patriot Act, actually. So it requires a tremendous amount of reporting. It is not subject to us for two reasons. One, really one major reason, but I would argue there's other reasons, but it's not a primary residence. And Dodd-Frank is subject to primary residence. So we get out of it that way for now, but I think it's probably coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why so many people that used to be doing good in the mobile home business can't, because it's still primary residence.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Jared Weaver, it was a pleasure talking to you, man.
And to both of you as well.
And good luck
Jared.
Good luck with the tenants and I'm sure you're probably going to have to keep moving out. What is that? What's that quote you use, Joe, about?
Drive till you qualify.
There's some validity to that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Jared, thanks for joining us. Never had anybody say domestic violence in my podcast before.
That was a new one. But then he said, I wish the story was more funny. And then that made it funny.
I really wish it was more funny, too. Maybe we can make up for it right now, Jill, you and I, in the next three minutes.
Okay. Well, number one, I had no idea the Joe Schillinger car thing. Mm-hmm. I had not heard that. And that makes so much sense. I mean, that's really valuable information to share to everyone. Seriously. You know, It applies to all kinds of things, you know?
Dating.
Yeah. Like, for example, my daughter's car. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. So, but, you know, like, I will throw myself under the bus. Who know me, you better not spill in my car.
Yeah, that's true.
First of all, food is barely allowed in my car. You better have a lid on that. And if you spill, you're dead. So,
you know, I've always attributed that to the fact that you're a pilot. You know, you just have to have everything cleaned up and there's no eating in the car and all that. I think it's kind of a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's right. That's my dad. My dad raised me that whatever you bring into the car, then you leave with that too. Mm-hmm. So there's no major cleaning out my car ever. So, yeah.
I mean, Joe's car's a mess, and he admits it, but those are his rules, so I guess that's it.
He also is into the baseball and the kids, and has a lot going on, so I get that. That's so cute. So, no, that was great, and, you know, and I liked hearing some of his struggles. I see why a lot of people are looking at other ways to... meeting our ways to increase their income. And gosh, even if you're, I mean, we have a number of, I know you know this, realtors, established realtors and brokers who are members of Land Academy. And that's not that they're not doing their day. There are other things. It's just another, easy transition for them to bump up their income. And I know a couple in particular that I know you know I'm talking about, I think they're looking to transition from what they were doing takes so much time. Yeah. And they're, you know, they're looking to kind of slow it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And with our program, it's a no-brainer. It doesn't take much work once you get it rolling.
Sure.
You know, and then they can, you know, be quote unquote retired and just cash the checks.
I mean, I think being a licensed real estate agent with a bunch of deals under your belt or even not, but mm-hmm. a licensed real estate agent, so you're familiar with the terminology already. Mm-hmm. It's not a fee-based thing. You know how to talk to clients. You're generally familiar with how the contracting process works. So, yeah, it's a very logical fit if you spent, I don't know, 80% of your day. I know you're never supposed to do this part-time, do the real estate agent thing part-time, but if you spend 80% of your time doing your regular job or having an open house, or if they even have those anymore, and then the other amount of time doing what one of our programs, mm-hmm. I think it's a really logical fit. I know it is because some of our top performers at Land Academy are still licensed agents.
Well, because deals come their way naturally. You know, it's not long before someone, even if you're doing nothing but SFRs, you know, that someone's going to come to you with land or something out of the usual. And if it's a good deal, you could just buy it and own or finance it on the side. What's to think about?
Right.
Don't change a thing, and it doesn't take much time.
I'm going to extort Joe Schillinger now. He's got to be on the show to come and defend himself because his name came up like six times. So
this is great.
If he knows that we're talking about him and stuff,
awesome.
He's
got to
be on the show.
Yeah.
And if I know Joe, he's going to have like seven other little pieces of advice like that. Like, well, I think that's good. This is even better. That kind of thing.
And talk about funny. He would be a crack up.
He really would. So. Mm-hmm. First question I'm going to ask him is why he drives a 2004 4Runner that's been paid for since the, you know, since 2005 when he makes like $600,000 or $700,000 a month.
I love it. Gee, that sounds like somebody else I know. Let me think.
Oh my gosh.
A couple years newer, but.
Throw Steve under the bus day.
That's right. All right. That was fun. Let's go.
Oh, go ahead.
Bye.
Oh.
Some. What, do I have to really hold your hand here? Are you awake? Are you painting your nails? What's going on over there?
What's the exit? You love it.
Let's go buy some real estate.
Let's go buy some real estate.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.